So, lady, you know, we've had a ton of volleyball tournaments that we've been going to because our son plays. And so we're in the car for like hours driving to these, and we've gotten into audiobooks as a family, and we're listening to them on these long car rides.
What are you listening to?
Right now, we're listening to Project Hail Mary, and it is so good. And I haven't seen the movie, but I'm so into the audiobook.
Well, I just finished listening to an audiobook. I listened to Strangers. It's sort of the book of the moment. And it was wonderful. I would listen to that while driving my kids to all their summer camps. So you can now get access to audiobooks included with your Amazon Music Unlimited subscription. So if you need company while you're washing dishes, walking the dog, or exercising, this might be your place to go.
Amazon Music is your one app for music, podcasts, and audiobooks. Your Amazon Music Unlimited subscription now includes access to audiobooks.
Download the app today and start listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.
You know Squarespace. We've been using Squarespace for seven years.
Almost 7 years. Yeah.
To first grab our domain name. They make that very easy.
Yep.
And then also to design our website, and now to maintain our website and build it out even more.
That's right, you guys. Squarespace is that all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online.
I have to say, Squarespace has really grown with us.
It has.
And it has helped us grow in ways that I wouldn't have imagined. We just went through and Ileana did a whole reorganizing of how to find our back catalog. Mm-hmm. And Squarespace made that really easy.
Really and truly with Squarespace, whatever you can imagine for your website, it has the tools to help you.
Head to squarespace.com/officeladies for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code OFFICELADIES to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the ultimate Office Lovers podcast just for you.
Each week, we will dive deeper into the world of The Office with exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes details, and lots of BFF stories.
We're The Office Ladies 6.0. Hello!
Hi!
Lady, I have a new way I'm being influenced. Okay. I'm being influenced into making my bed a very specific way.
Like different than how you've made it your whole life?
Different than how I've been making it. Yeah. I like a made bed because at night I like to get into a bed that's made.
Listen, I like a made bed because then I feel like my room doesn't feel cluttered.
Same.
Like I can have maybe like a pile of clothes I need to put away, but if my bed is made, I don't feel so, you know, sloppy.
Same. Well, I got influenced. I saw this video, this guy making his bed. He's very certain about how it should be made.
Okay.
And I love it so much that I'm making my kids' beds again. I'm making all the beds.
I make beds like on the weekends, like on a week morning, everyone's like running out. I'm like, ah.
No, I'm so excited to make beds now.
Can I ask, how were you influenced to make your bed differently?
I'll share the video with you.
I would love it.
I'll share it with everyone.
I'm huge into making my bed.
He's delightful. So first of all, I would always sort of pull the comforter all the way up and then put the pillows on top of it. That's like a hard no for him. He's like, no, you bend back the comforter to let the sheets breathe underneath. And then also you don't put your pillows vertical. You put them horizontal.
Like a hotel.
Yes. It kind of is like a hotel bed. And he has strong feelings about throw pillows.
I bet he doesn't like them because he wants all the pillows flat. I bet there's no throw pillows on his bed.
You can have one long lumbar pillow sitting in front of your four stacked pillows, the end.
Mm. So my two hummingbird pillows are off the bed, huh?
I mean,
they didn't make the cut.
Wow. Mm-mm.
Sorry.
Wow. Well, you know what, fella? You don't get to tell me.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
Don't come between me and my hummingbird pillows that my mom got at Cracker Barrel. Well, I want to share with everyone that you had a little bit of a Pam moment this week at work.
What? Oh, no. You're going to tell people about that?
Sam.
Go nuts.
Did someone in this office make a sign and hung it over the sink?
It is eerily similar to the sign of the show. This one might be more passive aggressive.
So Jenna got here before me. I come in and she's just like writing something and then she's taping it. And I'm like, what is happening? And Sam's like, well, go read the sign. Sam, will you read it?
It says, please wash your own dishes. Dishwashing service is not provided here.
this space.
Yes, we do.
With other podcasts and people recording things. And I keep coming in and the sink is just full of people's dirty cups and dishes.
And we should say, you guys, at the end of our recording day, we clean anything in the sink that was ours.
And we clean the studio.
Yeah. We tidy up.
Well, I think there's some new people recording here. And
we don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are. It's not Ben Stiller and Adam Scott. I want to say there were never dishes in the sink when they were here.
Yeah. Really big headset settings.
But no dishes. But whoever has been coming in, I think they might have assumed that maybe that's part of the custodial service.
And you're letting them know.
I'm letting them know it is not. I'm tired of washing your shit.
I'm going to take a picture of you by it.
Can I give you a quick update on the situation?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, yes, Matt.
So I've let our landlords and people who manage the building know about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a full-on investigation.
Stop it.
Possibly involving security footage of who might be there. There's an investigation underway.
I'm like, Matt.
I need closure on this now.
Into who is leaving the dishes in the sink?
This is your first mom detective case with an actual result.
This is
not
so
yet.
Exciting.
We don't have it yet.
True.
Wow.
Wait, so now I'm so baffled. Are there cameras in our kitchen?
I think just in the building hallways.
Oh. Not that, I mean, you guys, I haven't done anything in the kitchen. I'm just saying, well, we did change clothes in there.
We have changed clothes in the offices here.
I know. For like, you'll have a meeting and we'll change clothes before we like hop on the Zoom.
Exactly.
You know?
Building security footage.
Okay, good.
So, okay, this is interesting. So they are looking at the date of the dirty dishes from probably last week when I was annoyed and I said something.
Who was in the hallway.
Yeah.
And who went
they
in.
Are. Oh, they are. They are. We've got our best people on it.
Wow. I had no idea. I just thought, Matt, you just fired off a snarky email like, hey, clean your dishes. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. So, Jenna, you have a tidy bed and we're going to have a tidy office. Where are we?
That was a lot of banter.
It was.
Up top, but we're in a bantering mood. Mm-hmm. We have a really fun episode today, though.
With a great guest.
Yes. We got to interview Robin Lynch, who played the CPR instructor in Stress Relief Part 1.
So in our original breakdown of the episode, we had shared that we tried to get a hold of her and we wanted to speak with her. Well, after that episode aired, we got a message from Robin thanking us for our kind words about her performance. And she was like, I would love to come and share about my experience on the show.
So listen, this was a really fun chat. She is such a lovely person. You might remember that I suspected she had some sort of actual CPR experience because she was so real. And in our interview, Robin will reveal if I was right.
But first, we have our chit-chat suggestion from Leanne P. in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, office ladies. My name is Leanne and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I am a history buff and often wonder what it would have been like to witness certain events. This is especially true when I visit the Gettysburg battlefield. My chit-chat question is this. If you could be a fly on the wall and witness any event in history, what would you choose? It could be a major event or something small that has always fascinated you. Looking forward to your answer.
Did you have something come to mind away?
I had something that came to my mind immediately. Like two things, actually.
Okay.
Can I share both?
Of course.
Okay. So the first one, you guys, is years ago, I was in London and I did a tour of the Hampton Court Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And on this tour, I was not expecting this. I sort of thought I would see like old rooms and, you know, like ye olde things. We turn this corner and we enter into what looks like a very small tennis court.
Oh, I've seen it. I've been there.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right?
It's indoors.
It's indoors. It was built in the 1520s. I guess it still remains active today and you can play on it if you're a member.
There were two guys playing tennis.
When you were there?
Yes.
Oh, no one was playing when I was there. Well, anyway, I guess the history says that Henry VIII was an avid and very skilled player of what they called real tennis, which was often called the sport of kings. It was the precursor to what we know now as modern tennis. And I just would love to just be a fly on the wall watching Henry VIII and his whatever, his whole like royal court playing this game. That would be fascinating to me.
Very cool.
Right? So
yes.
Obviously that's driven by my love of tennis.
Yes.
And just wanting to see what that game looked like in the 1520s. But then the other thing I've always sort of, I don't know if the word romanticize is right, but I've just always thought it would have been so cool to witness the very first moon landing and walking on the moon. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine the electricity that was going through our country at that time, mm-hmm. and the excitement and how collectively everyone came together to watch and witness this moment. You know, people gathered around their televisions, and the feeling that felt like to see that moment in history, I think would be so amazing.
Yeah.
To see in real time. You know, you can see old footage of it, but to be at home with your family, watching your little home TV of yeah. that event must have just been so amazing.
Yeah.
So those were the two that came to mind. I mean, you know, there's so many, it's hard to pick, you know, but Leanne, I loved this question.
Well, it's interesting. I thought about the moon landing as well.
Did you really?
I did, because I thought how there are some things that when they're happening, you know, they are historic. And that's an example of one.
Yes.
And then there's other things that only later
You sort of realize,
oh, that was a historic mm-hmm. moment. But if you were there, it might not feel any different than just a regular moment. Mm-hmm. But I got really caught up. Like, my first thought was that I thought of all like the unsolved crimes. And I thought, oh, what if I could be there to see what really happened? And then I would just know. Like, I could just, not that I want to see a crime. Oh my goodness. But, you know, like, then we'd have like certainty, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But then I don't really want to see a crime happen because that right. feels disturbing and
upsetting.
You
don't want to see the crime. You want to see who did it.
Yeah. Like, I want to end the mystery.
Like, whoever's leaving the, you're like, ah, it was you.
We knew it. And yeah. we were right all along. Or right. like, oh my gosh, they really were innocent or mm-hmm. whatever. Or mystery solved.
This is very much your brain of like, your brain likes to finish an equation, solve a problem, put that last piece in the puzzle.
I guess I thought, like, I did think, how could it be useful to more than just myself?
Mom detectives of history.
Oh, I guess so. I guess so. We go back and solve all the crimes of the past.
Yes, with snacks.
You could go back to 2 weeks ago and see who was in our kitchen.
Yes.
Exactly. But then I was like, okay, since I don't really want to witness an actual crime that feels upsetting, I Googled. Mm-hmm. I was a lady who Googles. And I was like, what are some historical events that would be cool to witness? It's literally what I put in. And you know what popped up that I was like, yeah, and it's what? A little bit in the same vein, is the construction of the pyramids.
Oh, yes.
Because like, wouldn't you like to be like, that's how they did it?
Yeah. Well, aliens.
Well, I could answer that mm-hmm. question for you because I will have seen it. Sam, what about you?
My brain went to where your brain went. It went to like Black Dahlia or Jack the Ripper, but in the same thing, I don't want to see those right. murders happen. So I landed on, do you guys know who D.B. Cooper is?
I did not.
D.B. Cooper was the alias that he gave to the FBI. So on November 24th, 1971, a guy named D.B. Cooper hijacked a Northwest Orient flight, demanded a $200,000 ransom, and parachuted from the plane into a heavily wooded area of South Washington. Experts highly doubt he survived the freezing temperatures and high-speed winds, but in 1980, a young boy discovered a decaying package containing $5,800 of the ransom money buried along the Columbia River. So I would just be curious who that guy was, like where, like, if he made
did
it.
Did he make it? Yes. Or did someone find his dead body and the money?
Exactly. And then, or did he leave some of the money out so that he would appear dead?
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
You guys both want a mom detective history.
I think I just want a time travel is what I want to use this for. Okay. Yeah.
I want to time travel and play tennis.
Yeah. Also, I'm laughing so hard at the idea of you backhanding, was it King Henry VIII in the yeah. face? You hulking out on a living king.
Oh my gosh. I would be sent to the tower.
Yeah, exactly.
A little angle up.
Yeah,
if I could angle up afterwards.
I know. I'd be like, sorry.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been in the way. Yeah. Dude, get your racket up, Henry VIII.
Yeah.
Leg kick.
Oh, too funny. Matt, what about you? Do you have one?
Yeah. So I love American history. So like kind of my first thoughts are like something kind of rugged. Like I've always loved the Revolutionary War or like the Gold Rush. But then I sort of think like, it sounds kind of like hard and cold and like most people aren't brushing their teeth at that time and just like sounds a little too rugged for me. So
the Gold Rush is too rugged.
Yeah, I kind of just want to go to a swinging good time like Paris before the war or the Summer of Love or something like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, just like I'm just here for the vibes.
Oh my God. If I could be at the Green Day concert with the mud fight, that would be like so epic.
Yeah, that was Woodstock 94.
Yeah.
Or like, I think about too, that amazing concert with Queen. Was it Live Aid where it was Live that Aid. Massive
oh,
stadium?
Yeah.
That just felt like electric, didn't
it?
Yeah.
That was another one where everyone, no matter where you were, was at your TV set, like the moon landing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, partially for me for the moon landing. Okay, cool, science, yay. But also, you know, I'd have a really cute outfit.
Yeah. And along those same vines, I'll say Beatles playing Ed Sullivan would be pretty.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Their first time in America would be pretty great.
All right. Yay.
Yay.
So fun. Well, we're going to solve some mysteries and have some fun, listen to music and play tennis when we go back in time. Thank you so much. Well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we are going to talk about a few of the extra things that were added back to Stress Relief Part 1 from the Superfan episode. And we are going to talk with Robin Lynch, who played Rose, the CPR instructor. This segment is presented by State Farm.
Having people in your corner to help you makes all the difference. And with State Farm, you can feel good knowing that, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Okay, lady, I have a big share. It's kind of going to blow your mind. So, you know, my niece, Cece.
Yeah.
Who we named Jim and Pam's baby after, Cece.
Yeah.
The real Cece, my niece, just got her driver's license.
Oh my gosh. She was a baby. Oh.
She was just born when Jim and Pam's baby was born. Oh, so that means Jim and Pam's baby also just got her driver's license.
Oh, I can't even. That's a mind meld.
Isn't it? I mean, yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, Jim is taking Cece out driving and Pam is there trying to help fictional Cece get a little car. And I'm doing that with the real Cece. I'm helping my sister find a car for my niece because she's got a summer job and she's going to be driving to her summer job.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Yeah. Isn't Jack, you know, they're driving to school now. They're very excited. They carpool. Mm-hmm. It's a wild world.
It is. And, you know, it's a big thing to add another car to the family, another driver to the family.
Yes.
You have to take care of that car, maintain it, insure it, all those things. And with State Farm, you can keep your focus on what matters to you because you know that like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And you know, whether you need coverage for your car, your home, or even boats, motorcycles, and RVs, you can choose the right amount of coverage for you. With State Farm, an agent can help you along the way.
And if things get complicated and you have questions, you've got options too. Go online at statefarm.com or use the award-winning app to get help from one of their local agents.
State Farm has coverage options to choose from to help best fit your needs, which means you can
talk to your agent to help you choose the coverage you need,
have coverage options to help protect the things you value most,
file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app,
reach a real person when you need to talk to someone.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
I really love that in our day and age, we talk more openly about mental health. But even though that is true, I think sometimes asking for help can feel hard. And in fact, BetterHelp's latest research confirms this. BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from doing so.
Well, you know, I think BetterHelp is really changing how people approach mental health. They're making it easier to find a quality therapist, and they are the world's largest online therapy platform.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/officeladies.
That's better, HELP.com/officeladies.
right. We are back. And you all know that the CPR training from season 5, Stress Relief, Part 1, it's epic. We all know this scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's after Dwight's crazy fire drill. Stanley collapses. And now Michael has called everyone into the conference room to get CPR training should Stanley's heart, quote, go berserk again.
Every time Michael said Stanley's heart, well, it went berserk.
I know.
It makes me laugh. So the superfan version of this episode is fantastic. Way to go, Dave Rogers. And there's a ton of extra stuff just from the CPR scenes that was put back in. For example, the moment we first meet Rose in the conference room is much longer, and she and Michael really get into it right from the beginning. Rose kind of makes a joke, and people laugh a little, and Michael does not like it.
He never likes that.
Mm-mm. Let's hear it.
ABC, okay? And that stands for airway, breathing, and circulation.
Okay, you know what? That could be a little confusing because in sales, ABC means always be closing.
Well, try not to close the sale when administering CPR.
Okay, well, Rose, is it? This is serious, and you're sort of making a mockery of it. We almost lost one of our employees, and I feel like you're being a little jerky and a little condescending and sort of a tool.
Okay, I'm here to do a job, and you cannot talk to me that way.
Well, honestly, the only reason that you are here, Rose, is because I couldn't get a CPR dummy. So if you want to wander around for an hour, that's...
This is a farce. I should be teaching this course.
Shut it. Shut it.
Yes, so Michael then has this talking head where he explains, like, he tried to get a CPR dummy by itself, but mm-hmm. they insist that an instructor come with it. It's so amazing. But I love Rose, is it?
Mm-hmm. I also love, you know what? And you're kind of being a tool. can you imagine someone saying that to you if you've just like come to do this demonstration at an office? It's crazy.
So next up, we see Kevin and he's administering chest compressions to the dummy. But in the superfan version, there's more bickering between Michael and Rose, and Dwight gets in on it too. You have to hear it.
Rose, I am sorry. It is just that Stanley Hudson here almost died. We almost lost him, and we need you to take this very seriously.
I am taking this seriously.
Okay, well, then no more jokes, please.
Anyway, okay. The first thing you need to do is assess the situation. You can ask, are you okay?
Really? He's had a heart attack, and you're going to make idle chit-chat? Are you even certified?
Shut it, Dwight. Okay.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
She has her hands full with these guys.
For sure.
And it's only going to get worse. So now we have this bit where Michael is trying to convince Stanley to try administering CPR to the dummy. And Stanley is not interested. And this is when Michael has that great line where he says, "We're not always going to be there to coddle your heart back when it disappears to be working. What are you going to do if you are by yourself and your heart stops?" And Stanley says, "I would die." And Michael says, "And you're okay with that?" And Stanley says, "I'm okay with the logic of it." I've always loved that exchange.
Me too.
Such
Me too.
A great scene.
And Leslie, like, his delivery is perfect.
Well, lady, when I was rewatching it, this whole exchange, it happens in front of Andy, Oscar, Phyllis, and Meredith. They are like lined up in chairs along the wall. Michael is on his knees in front of Stanley in the wheelchair. And I just have to encourage people to watch those four actors in the background during this exchange. It is such an amazing, just deadpan, active listening work that they are doing. Nobody steals focus, but everyone is completely dialed in, engaged. They're in character. I think it's a top tier background acting moment on the show.
I'm for sure going to check it out because I remember desperately wanting to be on the back row. And they put me right in the front. And I'm almost never in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, today of all days, where this is happening right there, I'm in the front. I was like, oh no, I was so worried I was going to break. Okay, well, so Michael does end up convincing Stanley to try CPR, but he's going to bail pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael has to take over. And Rose says, okay, assessing the situation, are they breathing? And Michael says, no, Rose, they are not breathing. But Steve, as Michael, says it so snarky.
So snarky.
And then he says, and they have no arms or legs. And Rose replies, that's not part of it.
So This obsession with what happened to the dummies' arms and legs is much longer in the superfan version. Like, Michael and Dwight get very preoccupied with also, like, what is the location of this person? Where were they found? And, you know, Rose is trying to be like, you're in an office, but it goes all over the place. You have to hear it.
You know what? If we come across somebody with no arms or legs, do we bother resuscitating them? I mean, what kind of quality of life do we have there?
I would want to live with no legs.
How about no arms? No arms or legs is basically how you exist right now, Kevin. You don't do anything. Here's another question. Was he born this way with no arms or legs? Or were they blown off? If that's the case, should we use a tourniquet to tie off the bloody stumps?
Okay, we're not going to be covering tourniquets today just because that rarely happens in an office place.
Not covering tourniquets? That should be the first thing we cover. Otherwise, the blood will just go oozing out of the stumps.
I think Dwight is right. Okay, this is the scenario. This is a battlefield, and there are bodies all over the place. And some have had heart attacks, and other people are just resting. So I think in that case, to go up to someone and say, are you okay? That makes sense to me.
Okay, for the sake of argument, we are now at a battlefield. And I think it's okay to ask somebody if that's okay, even in an office. And now, who would like to come up and
I would,
care for the
job? You know what? I'm already here. I'll do it.
Okay.
So I'm walking across the battlefield. There's someone. Are they a heart attack victim or are they resting? Are you okay? Oh my God! Your arms and legs have been blown off.
I mean, it's just he can't focus.
He can't. It's not about CPR at all now. He's like reenacting some battlefield moment. I really don't know how Robin got through it. Also, you know, just being on set for the first time and now you're in front of the whole entire group and she's driving the scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And so ultimately this training ends with Rose suggesting that Michael do chest compressions to the tune of Staying Alive. And this quickly turns into a full-on dance party.
Yes, the whole scene is amazing. It's so funny. I think it's time that we talk to Robin about it. So here is the interview we had with Robin Lynch, who plays Rose, the CPR instructor. Hello!
Hi, Robin!
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're good. Welcome to Office Ladies. We're so happy to have you here.
You look just the same.
Oh, my God. Thank you. So do you guys. I feel like nothing. Time has not changed, my friends. Everything is good.
We're so excited that you're joining us today. We have been, you know, we rewatched every episode of the show, but we've been revisiting them every Monday. And oh, my gosh, we found all this extra footage from your CPR scenes.
And the superfan, have you seen it?
I honestly just watched it the other night. So all this time has gone by and I have only seen what everyone else saw
right
on that original airing. So I sat there, I'm watching it. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. I forgot about all those extra lines and that interaction with the cast, with Steve Carell. It was brilliant. I sat there, I was like, and all I thought was my skin looks great.
It does. You look fantastic. Well, you know what? We were thrilled to watch the scenes too, and we were cracking up. So thank you for being here today. We're going to kick this off with this question. How did you get your role as Rose, the CPR instructor on The Office?
Because, you know, I wondered if you were a real CPR.
You were convinced.
Nurse. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. On a side note, when you talked about that in the podcast about stress relief, I think it was like 2 years ago
you talked about it.
I was getting my carpet steamed and my CPA called me and he's like, Robin, the girls are talking about you, about your office episode. They thought you were a real nurse. And I'm like, huh. They thought it was real. Like, I had no idea that was happening. So of course I immediately listened and cried because I was like, oh my gosh, that's like the biggest compliment an actor can ever hear, that they actually... Someone actually thinks that that's what they're, who they really are.
Yes.
So thank you. Thank you. Cried like a baby.
You definitely nailed the realism.
Yes, you did. And it didn't matter how crazy the room got. It was like, I'm just here to do this job and I'm trying my best to do it. And that's not easy to do when you have a bunch of wackadoos all around you.
Well, that was the bottom line is when I got the script, And I knew the show. So that was important. So what happened was my agent reached out to me, who, by the way, I never actually met this agent in person. It was one of those online agents, like you get them online through Actors Access or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he had never seen me in person. And when he sent me on the audition, the description was a 60 year old androgynous woman. Okay. So I get the breakdown. I'm like, I know this guy hasn't seen me before, but okay, whatever. So I go to the audition and it's Allison Jones casting.
And is it okay if I ask you how old you were as opposed to not being 60?
Oh, 35.
Okay.
No, 35. So I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I go, I'm waiting with these lovely women that were of that age.
Okay.
And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just happy to be here. Happy to be here. But I remember the direction that Ben Harris gave me, which was, he's like, just don't act. Just don't. I said, okay. And that's what we did.
And you knew the show. So you knew sort of the tone of it.
I knew the show and I knew that y'all didn't want me to sing it. It was more me going to use it to teach CPR. So that's what I did. And I just kept it simple. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of time really to overanalyze things because I was on set the very next day.
Wow.
You were in the audition room the day prior?
Yes. So I had 15 pages of dialogue and I was like,
15 pages for the audition? Oh my goodness.
And you had to be off book. So you're off. So I'm like, okay, let's go. And we just had so much fun and I left and it was so nice. Ben was like, nice working with you. And I was like,
nice. This is,
I'm like, yay. And so I had already won. I was like, I went in there, did my thing. Ben was cool. I'm like, awesome. And then an hour later, they called and said, we need you on set tomorrow at 12.
An hour later
on my flip phone.
Those were the days.
Those are the days when you're driving with your flip phone. And I'm like, okay. So I just got home, ran over the lines. And the next morning I worked out and I just didn't have time to freak out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just got to set. When I got there, Angela, I think I was wearing a pair of your pants. They couldn't find anything for me to wear. I was wearing like my purple jacket. I wore that. That's mine. But they just kept layering me because when I watched the episode the other day, I was like, God, I look like a hobbit. I look so small. So they kept like putting all these layers on me, I think, to make me look like a human, which is great. And off we went. And I remember we did one rehearsal. And again, Jeffrey Blitz was great. He just came over and said, don't act, just do it. I said, okay. And we just did it.
And you just did it. And they were throwing you curveballs left and right.
They were so funny. Ed Helms, that little rascal, he was trying to make me laugh the whole time.
He almost did. When we rewatched the Superfan, he does this thing where he hip checks you. Like he turns while he's dancing and kind of like hits you with his tush and you kind of bump. And you're like, what is happening?
That's exactly my face. I was like, don't laugh. Don't do it. And then, I remember Mindy is up there dance. I was just like, and remember, I didn't know anything about the episode. I didn't get your script. I only got my part. So when I showed up.
Oh, that's interesting.
I had no idea what was going on. I heard you guys talking about a cat falling. And I remember being very like, are they throwing animals? What was going on? I'm like, just whatever. And I was in my lane. I'm like, okay, just, okay, where am I? Stand here. And then, and as I watched it the other day, I'm like, oh, I see why they did, how they actually had Steve like leaning over and everyone was sitting in chairs. I'm so short that they had to kind of work with the height and have the cast. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. That really worked great. So,
was that like dancing part of it? Was that the hardest to keep a straight face?
Oh, I would say the entire thing. I mean, literally, yeah. That was the hardest part. But when Creed says his line, that was a moment Steve and I had with him. We're like, what are you saying? What's happening? And I'm just like, you can see, if you really look, you can see me. Whenever I pucker, I'm like, don't do it.
Steve is Michael in the extended scenes. He really goes at Rose. He's like, you know what, Rose, do your job. Like,
he gets very antagonistic with you.
Yeah.
I know. I have forgotten all of that. So when I was watching it, I'm like, oh, that's so funny. But Rose, I mean, it's my character. She just kind of kept telling that line.
Kept it moving, kept it going.
I want to know, like, what stories did Rose tell her friend and significant other when she left that office that day? Right? Like, you guys are not going to believe what happened to me.
I'm pretty sure Rose changed careers. In my mind, Rose, like, forget this. I'm going to go to HR. I'm going to go work with trees. I'm done. Like, she, yeah. You can tell she was at the end of her rope.
Yeah,
the
entire time. Broke Rose, unfortunately.
Yeah. Dwight, basically, I think you did.
When Dwight stabbed the CPR dummy, that was pretty much it for Rose. We are so curious if you have, like, a favorite memory from being on set or any kind of behind the scenes thing that you hold dear.
Well, I would say for you, Miss Angela, you were just so kind. I remember that you made sure I had clothes. You told me where to put the clothes at the end. Like, it was like 11 at night. I'm like, where do I put my wardrobe? Everyone was gone. I'm like, where do I put my wardrobe? And you're like, just leave it in your trailer. And I remember leaving and just being like, that is so nice. I felt like I could go out with you guys afterwards. It was just a warm set. Aww. Everyone was lovely. And I felt like a receiving line at the end. Everyone was like shaking my hand. And I was, you know, I'm just like, I honestly, when I went to set, kind of was like, oh, you know, they're going to probably cut some of these lines. It's a lot of lines. And, I was convinced, I still am convinced, that I may have replaced them in the last minute.
We are not aware of that.
That is a story I tell myself all the time because it was such a quick cast.
We move pretty fast sometimes, though. So I really would say toot your own horn, lady. I think that part was yours all along.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Oh, yeah. I definitely felt like when I was on set, even watching it the other day, I was like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to be there. It was such a nice feeling. So having those wonderful feelings are kind of what I take away from The Office. And it was surreal for me to be looking, like when Steve Carell was like, hi, I'm Steve Carell. I'm like, in my head, there's like a squirrel in my head being like, Steve Carell is walking up to you. Steve Carell is putting out his ear. Steve Carell said hello to you. Steve Carell's really in shape. I'm like, wow, he's really in shape. I mean, this is what was going on in my head. And then I'm just like, keep it together. Rain Wilson kept trying to give me high fives. I could not reach. He kept doing that. I was like, dude, I can't reach. And then someone did ask, I think it was Rain or Ed said, hey, are you a nurse? And I'm like, no.
Well, where does this role rank in terms of film and television appearances for you? Because you're saying this was a new agent. This was someone who you hadn't even met in person. And now you go out and you book this role.
Huge. It was completely huge. You know, one of the things I did when I moved to LA after college is I went and worked in a casting office for a few months, just an internship. And it was one of the best things I ever did as an actor because I really could watch how a part meets a person. It's a serendipity. It's this magic thing. It's their part. And years later, when I'm auditioning and I'm in the hustle, I'm just trying to meet people, you know, get as much experience as possible. When it happened to me, like emotionally, spiritual, everything, I was like, oh, it is true. It does happen, you know, to have that actually happen. And as far as credits, huge, huge credits. The biggest push, obviously, when the Super Bowl aired and we watched it, it was the first hour long episode and it won an Emmy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a no joke episode. So thrilled, so thankful to be part of that. But when Netflix put it on the network during the pandemic era, that then gave me a new audience. And not only did I have the parents that watched The Office, I had their kids. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why, you know, I waited tables forever. So I would wait on people and people say, hey, aren't you Rose, the CPR instructor? I'm like, yeah, I am. How are you? And in fact, I was getting a facial yesterday and my facialist said, aren't you Rose, the CPR instructor? I mean, it's crazy. So that is the strongest. But when you look at other pieces of work, like projects that I have developed or been in that are have other special meetings, but this one is really special. And I knew it when I was on set. I'm like, this is something special is going to happen here. So
was cool. It wild to see this after the Super Bowl? Like as you're sitting there, like if you go back in time, like take me back to like you're sitting on your couch and you know you have the Super Bowl audience.
Right. Well, we learned something that night. First of all, if you're in a big episode of a show, don't invite everybody over.
What?
I invited like a ton of people. I had like a party at my house. At that time I was married. So my husband was there and his friends. It was like a gorgeous little party. And I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, this could be awful.
Because
this
you haven't totally seen bad. It yet, right? You
I had not seen it.
You don't know.
I had no idea. And I was like, I will never do that again. I will just let you know when it's airing and good luck with that because it was too stressful. So when I watched it, I was nervous the whole time. And then I was like, oh yeah, I did that. Okay, good. Again, I knew something special. When the Emmys were happening. Mm-hmm. This time I was by myself. And I'm just like, I'm not going to risk that again. And I was like, I didn't even know the episode was up for an Emmy. I was just like, I'm going to watch the Emmys, see what happens. And I was like, that's the episode. It's so fantastic. So it was, for me, I always tell folks, it's the gift that keeps giving. Mm-hmm. It just keeps giving.
Yeah.
Like even today, it's so lovely to see you guys. It's so wonderful to talk about work that means a lot. Not just to me, but when I get recognized, people are thrilled. It makes them so happy, brings so much joy. Mm-hmm. Like to be a part of that, I feel like the luckiest girl in the world.
Well, you're a huge part of that. I mean, there's many episodes obviously that are fan favorites, but this is mm-hmm. one of the big tentpole episodes. And I love that people just come up and share their joy with you because that's how we feel too.
Everyone's so nice.
Yeah.
And your fan base is lovely. And what you're doing with the show is so lovely. And I hope you guys know that. It's like, I don't know if people tell you enough that what you're building is this wonderful, warm community of positivity when you talk to your fans and answer their questions. And listening, I listen to your podcast and I feel like like you're in my car with me. Aww. Like they're not, and they're even how you talk about your products, like the advertisements, the way that you describe, I'm just like, oh my gosh, totally gets that. Okay, I get it. It's such a breakthrough with your stuff.
We did win an award for our ad reads.
Oh yeah, you did.
We were super excited.
We were
about
proud
that.
Of that.
You know, that's part of it. It's like the show is free and it's paid for by advertising, but we're like, they don't need to be boring to listen to. So thank you for that compliment.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
Well, Robin, what are you working on right now? Is there anything we can shout out to our listeners?
Sure. Thank you for asking. So this has been a really fun year. I've been pivoting from an actor, but also writer performer. So I just completed my first pilot for a comedy. It's nice. Actually a drama. It's a dramedy disguised as a comedy.
Okay.
That's how I like to say. Mm-hmm. Last year was an interesting year for me. I had multiple jobs, you know, after COVID and the strikes, you know, we had the union strikes. Mm-hmm. It's been a bit crazy out here in LA. So I ended up having a few jobs. And one of the jobs that I had, I worked at a medical device company here in Los Angeles. And it's a call center. And I remember walking
mm-hmm.
and saying, oh my God, this is a show. So I wrote my first pilot about that in Pitch Check and Treatment. And so now I'm sharing it and getting feedback. And it's called On the Line. And the fun part about this show and the experience that I had was this office is like still in 1982. And they're dealing with people with medical devices that work. The device is great, but how they run the joint is like from the 80s. And I remember just sitting there going, and the characters that are the ensemble cast, it was brilliant. I'm like, this is so rich. I stayed there for 3 months and did like recon. I just like pulled. And then I sat and I wrote. And I'm like, being an actor has been wonderful, but be able to transition to writing as well. I feel very thankful. It's like opening up a whole new world for me. So that's what I'm working on right now. It's very exciting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, you'll have to update us as things go because that's so exciting. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Aw, this was so great. Thank you for spending this time with us and going over these scenes. And like Angela said, this episode is just really beloved, but these scenes are really beloved. And it's one of the most memorable parts of the whole series is this CPR training day.
Rain says he gets a lot of memes of himself. We all do, right? Mm-hmm. Like they show up, but the one where he's cut the face off the dummy.
Yep.
Yes. And everyone is screaming at him.
And also all the real lives that have been saved from people who remember the staying alive advice.
Yes.
That's, do people share that with you?
Yes. Yes. So what happens, you know, I am a little, you know, a funny person. I'm always making little jokes, but I was like, you know, we're actors. We're not like saving lives. But then I started getting articles from people around the country saying they used it to save, like someone in Arizona used it. A woman saved a squirrel with it. And I'm like, we are saving lives. I mean, that's actually happening with that song. And I thought that was very, very sweet. But people do share that with me often. It's crazy that this everyone culturally, everyone knows about this scene mm-hmm. and about this song. So it's pretty cool.
Really yeah. cool.
Really cool. In rewatching it, I forgot how much Michael like came alive when I think it was the first thing Rose said that made any sense or was any fun to him when
when Rose is like, actually, do you know Staying Alive by the Bee Gees? He's like, I do. He was like, Rose and I are about to jam.
So great. And then he got the song wrong. It was so great.
And then you started at the wrong spot and you're like, no, it's this part.
The chorus.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was actually the wrong song. That was, oh. I Will Survive. He was singing, I Will Survive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, you're right.
Which is actually so perfect. Well, is there anything from your time on the show or anything that you wanted to share that we missed?
Just, again, so surreal, so quick. When I got there, they were just trying to put clothes on me. I don't even think they put makeup on me. They were like, let's get her dressed. And off to the set we went. And it was shot in Van Nuys. I had never been to Van Nuys before. I was living on the West Side. So I remember being like, wow, this is the Valley. Now I live out here. So I'm like, oh yeah, it's right down the street. But I just remember in the parking lot when I got there in my little Corolla, I pull up my Corolla and Creed actually said, I know you. He actually gave me the line in the parking lot before we even started. And I do see him, by the way, at our Ralph's. Like I live right here where the Ralph's is. And like, I've seen him at Petco. And he doesn't have a pet. And I'm like, what you doing here? He's like, I don't know. My daughter
yeah, has a dog. Yeah.
It's so funny. But I just, again, I feel so blessed that I got to work with you guys and have this experience and bring Rose to life. And yeah, poor Rose, after that, she definitely got a new job. She quit. She went on holiday for 2 weeks and never came back. She was like, I'm out of here. But yeah, so it was just a wonderful experience. And everyone was so kind. So thank you. And thank you for having me on today just to connect.
Yeah. I'm sorry it took us so long to connect, but I'm so glad we finally did.
Yeah. Thank you for reaching out.
Yeah.
Of course. My pleasure. And I'll keep you guys posted when On the Line gets a little traction.
Yeah.
We'd love it.
Oh, cool.
All right. Take care, Robin.
Thanks, Robin.
Bye.
Yay. Well, that was just lovely.
Once again, it just brings me so much happiness to get to reconnect with people who are on the show. And I love hearing how even just this one day role mm-hmm. has impacted her life 20 years later. It's really cool.
It's really cool. And you guys, if you want to find Robin on Cameo, we'll be sharing that link in our stories. So go and check it out.
All right. Well, why don't we take a break? And then we'll be back with Around the Town and our office question of the week. All right, lady, we already know that we love Quince, but you just bought something new and I want you to tell me about it.
All right. I wanted some little summer dresses. And what I love about Quince is they're just fantastic quality and they're priced really well. One of the dresses that came up that I loved was this 100% European linen sleeveless swing dress. Jenna, you would love it because it's a light linen. So it's great for summer. It's $64. With code office ladies, I can't wait. You're going to get free shipping. You're going to get really easy 365-day returns. We love Quince. It has everything you need for this summer.
Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/officeladies for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/officeladies for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/officeladies. If you love that effortless, healthy, no makeup, makeup look, you absolutely need to know about the latest launches from Primally Pure.
They are a wonderful female-founded company, deeply rooted in a philosophy of clean, intentional living. They just introduced their brand new sun serum and lip and cheek tints, and they have completely simplified my life and elevated my daily beauty ritual.
Yes, their sun serum tinted SPF, it provides essential daily mineral SPF 30 protection, but it wears like a luxurious hydrating serum.
Yeah, and you can follow that up with their new multi-purpose lip and cheek tint in hazelnut. Use code OFFICELADIES to get 15% off your Primally Pure purchase.
That's www.primallypure.com and use code OFFICELADIES at checkout for 15% off your order. Before we get back to the podcast, we have a message from Ashley the Mosquito about Orkin.
Hey, besties. Hope all of you are high key, so excited for summer. It's literally giving all of us mosquitoes life. So we thought we'd help everybody make the most of it before Orkin pros try to ruin our fun. Remember, if you have standing water on your lawn from the pool or the sprinkler, let it sit there. The more, the merrier. And when there's standing water, there'll be plenty more mosquitoes. Next up is a bit of a hot take, but we're so hype on it. Let mosquitoes inside. What could go wrong? Just let us inside, please. Thanks. Love ya. Finally, the number one rule this summer is do not, under any circumstances, speak to anybody from Orkin. That's literally so cringe and will ruin the vibe of any get-together we might be having. Take it from a mosquito. Orkin pros know literally everything about us. Period. Don't visit Orkin.com for a free estimate today. All right, I'm going to kick us off with an around the town from our snail mail. This is from Sam K. from the United Kingdom. Sam said, "Dear office ladies, I just wanted to say a genuine thank you for the office and your podcast. Both the show and the podcast have been a constant companion for me while I'm working. I spend a lot of time making miniatures at home and prop making, and having something comforting, funny, and familiar on as I make makes such a difference. What I especially love is when you talk about props and behind-the-scenes details. Prop making can often feel like a bit of an inside, invisible craft in filmmaking. Hearing you highlight that side of things feels really special and appreciated. Thank you again. Lots of love, Sam K. P.S. I hope the gifts arrived okay."
What are the gifts?
Lady, he makes miniatures.
Stop it. You know miniatures are my favorite thing.
I know.
Is this a miniature? Is that what this box is?
That top box, you have to open it. I'm going to share them in stories. Isn't it amazing?
Oh my God. This is, I could actually cry.
It's so beautiful. We have to describe to everyone.
Okay. I have a shadow box with miniatures inside of it. And it is, it's very Pam-centered, but also office-centered. So I have a little ream of Dunder Mifflin paper. Mm-hmm. There's a little mixed berries yogurt. There is a teapot, a tiny teapot with also all the little things that were in the teapot. There is a yogurt lid. I don't even understand how he made these itty-bitty paper clips. There's an itty bitty The Adventures of Jimmy Halpert and some little shoes and Pam's watercolor. I mean,
it's really,
oh just, my gosh. And my mug, my pink mug.
I know it's really so special, Sam. I have a lot of the similar things Jenna had that are office centric, but I also have the babies playing jazz poster.
Oh my gosh. You have your Birkenstocks that you were bumping.
Yes. I have Angela and Dwight's Birkenstocks. I have Sprinkles collar. I have the little cherub angel that Dwight keeps after they break up. I have the key that Angela gives Dwight and Dwight's bobblehead. I have the little cat ears I wore at Halloween. But then in the middle, I have a baseball hat that says Lady with a hummingbird on top of it.
Sam, I hope you are listening. And I hope you know that I will absolutely treasure this. This is such a gift. Thank you so much. Thank you for the clear amount of just artistry and detail that went into this. There's also a Pam's candy dish. It looks just like her candy dish, but little.
But tiny. And it is so special. I'm going to share pictures in our story. Sam, thank you for taking the time to make these. I hope our podcast keeps you company as you continue prop making.
Well, lady, we also got an invitation that I know you are going to love. This is from Kim L. in Mendocino, California. Kim said, "Hello, ladies. If you are fans of Angela Lansbury and Murder, She Wrote, you might want to come to my hometown."
What?
"I'm not sure if you know this, but Mendocino hosts the Murder, She Wrote Festival. Wait for it, lady. Years ago, they used to film here for the outside shots of the fictional town Cabot Cove, and now we host the Murder, She Wrote Festival. People come to celebrate the show, and there are so many fun events like trivia games, a costume contest, and there's a Jessica jog where people dress up in blonde wigs and gray sweatsuits and run through the street." "Oh, I should say, not only is it a fun weekend, but proceeds from ticket sales go to support the Kelly House Museum, which is Mendocino's local history nonprofit." Kim included a flyer. Kim also said, "This year it's sold out, So put it on your calendar for next spring and come visit. Maybe you could even do a travel journal about it.
Kim, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Look at this flyer.
One of the things, if you buy a pass, it says you can participate in a solve-along Murder, She Wrote. It's like, lady, that's Mom Detectives happening.
And we could do a travel journal. We could do a whole episode about it.
I want to go. So this year it happened in early May. So let's keep our eye out.
Okay. Kim, thanks for the tip. And finally, from Jarrett B. in Alliance, Ohio. So this one really cracked me up. Okay.
Okay.
Because I am getting Google alerts, you guys. Not for myself. I'll continue to share. Jarrett, I had heard of this, but it tickled me that you wrote in. So Jarrett says, there is a woman running for Stark County Auditor named Angela Kinsey. You guys, it's spelled exactly the same way. Jarrett goes on to say, there's signs all over saying, keep Kinsey. And all I can think of is office ladies, Angela. Are you secretly running for local office? I think you'd be a great county auditor.
Wow, I did not know this.
Yeah, so I actually have had a few people say, hey, you might have a doppelganger in Ohio.
Lady, years ago, I think a woman named Jenna Fisher committed a crime.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was getting like alerts.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks, Jarrett, for writing in. That tickled me. And now our office question of the week. It is from Anna B. in Chichester, UK, if I'm saying that right, Anna. Anna says, hi, ladies. I love the podcast. I listen to you ladies all the time while driving, doing the dishes, falling asleep. I've tried to get my husband, who's a big office fan, to listen to your podcast, but he can't merge Angela Martin's cold and snarky attitude with real Angela's fun and upbeat personality. Oh, no. My question is, do you have a favorite and least favorite outfit you wore on the show? Thanks.
Well, my favorite outfit popped into my mind immediately.
Okay.
What about you?
I think my favorite and least favorite happened on the same day.
Oh.
Same episode.
No way. Oh, yeah. I can't. Okay, say.
Okay. Mine is from Costume Contest in season 7. If you remember, my character dresses as a penguin. Mm-hmm. It's so comfortable. It was like wearing pajamas. It was, yep. It was cozy. I wasn't cold. It was literally amazing. Then I changed into a nurse, the nurse outfit. I had this weird push-up bra plus those like cutlet things, you know, that like give you even more cleavage. And I had like these weird thigh-high stockings and heels that were uncomfortable. And I was like, this stinks. I do not like this outfit. I feel pushed and pulled and cinched and no thank you.
Well, it's very funny to me that your favorite and least favorite were in the same episode, but also that it was a Halloween episode because my favorite is from a Halloween episode.
Oh, can I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Is it when you were olive oil?
No.
When?
When I was the kangaroo, when I was super pregnant.
Wait, so basically the penguin and yes. The kangaroo are our favorites. Mm-hmm. Similar theme.
Yes, exactly.
So comfy.
I was so comfortable. It was glorious. It was great.
So what was your
And it was cute.
It was cute.
You know, I loved everything about it.
I thought the penguin was cute. So what was your least favorite?
Guys, I have to be honest.
Okay.
I really hated that outfit that I wore in Casual Friday, the matching outfit that I wore with Phyllis that I found on the mannequin.
So wait, it's because it wasn't a jacket. It wasn't a sweater.
It was
like
sweater
a shawl or something.
The shirt was fine. I didn't mind the shirt, but it was the weird purple half shawl cardigan thing. And it just, I think it's like, it's funny. You know how some things like over time, they grow on you.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the opposite of that over time.
Right.
Like every time I see it, it's gotten worse to me.
You're like, that sucks.
Like the first time I approved that costume, I was like, yeah, I like it. I believe it. It's good. It's cute. But like, it has not aged well. It has aged worse.
You mean a sweater / jacket, weird shawl thing?
Yes, it just was well. Like, it wasn't even like a crop. It like came to like the mid bra line. It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to shout that out as my least favorite.
Well, there you go, Anna B. and the United Kingdom. Thank you so much for writing in. Tell your husband to listen to Office Ladies. Just
tell him it's okay. He's going to really like Angela Kinsey.
I hope.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And thank you for sending us gifts and sending us your questions. And a huge thank you to Robin Lynch for joining us today.
Yeah, we hope you guys have a great one. We'll see you next week.
See you then. Thank you for listening to Office Ladies.
Office Ladies is a presentation of Odyssey and is produced by Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey.
Our senior producer is Matt Beagle, and our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer.
Odyssey's executive producer is Leah Reese Dennis.
Office Ladies was mixed and mastered by Bill Schultz.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton. You know what I am excited about?
What?
A little T.N. Dickinson's.
Lady, I love it. Let me tell you, they have their wound cleansing spray.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing. Okay, so you know, I already loved the witch hazel for sunburns.
Right.
That's my like go-to sunburn thing right now. Mm-hmm. But this cleansing spray, okay, we went to Disneyland and I got a blister on my toe and I put it on the blister on my toe and it was so soothing.
You've just got to have this in like your home. You've got to have it. It's there for you, you guys. We love it. You can find T.N. Dickinson's wound cleansing spray at Target.com and select Target stores. It helps cleanse minor cuts and scrapes, helps kill germs, and provides maximum strength pain relief all in one easy-to-use spray.
Yes, because when life's little accidents happen, there's T.N. Dickinson's for that.